Good morning. Hunter, would you put that last slide up there that we just sang? There we go. Yeah, just click on that slide, that last one we just sang, if you would. There you go. What can we possibly give to God? You know, he has everything, right? He's created everything. He's worthy of everything. But what can we give to him? There we go. Everything and all I do, my love, my life is an offering that I give to you. So Lord, we offer ourselves up today and every day that you would use us according to your will, for your purposes, for your kingdom, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. Bless us, Lord, as we worship today. Let's start with our readings.
Good morning. Our first lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here ends the lesson.
Gospel. Today's gospel. Yeah, thanks. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. All righty. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name and your presence, Lord. We know that you are here, that you are good, and that you are faithful. You're loving, that you're steadfast. We can use all these words we can't completely describe you, Lord. We know that you love us. So change us today, Lord. Bless us. And let us experience you in your word. Amen. Are we having children's church today? Or are we good with that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Kids can be excused for children's church then. All right, we'll let them get rolling then. Love kids, and God does too. And we're kids too in his eyes, right? We're his children, amen? I mean, we get to be like kids again. Yeah, no worries, no cares, everything provided. Isn't that true with us and God though? No worries, no cares, because he provides everything. We get caught up in the distractions. We get caught up in the worries. We make life too complicated. But it comes down to, you know, God's here, he cares, and he provides, which is great. Continuing through 1 Peter here, there's been a lot of verses as we've gone through 1 Peter that are sort of puzzling. And today's no exception. We have puzzling ones once again. But that's okay. It makes us think and we can explore. Of course, there's so many levels to the word, and there's so much in it. So as we start out today in 1 Peter, as Dorothy read there, get to the appropriate page, it'll be helpful. The end of all things is near. Okay, now I get this vision of the classic cartoon guy with the beard and the robe carrying the sign, you know, the end is near, right? Okay, well, the end of what is near? Here it says the end of all things is near. This can be taken in so many ways, and once again, I did the research, and I found multiple interpretations, right? It could be the end of time is near, and we know it's going to happen. We know that every day is a day closer, that Jesus is coming back. All things will be set right, and I sort of can't wait, but there's a whole lot that, you know, people that need to be brought to him first and things that need to be accomplished, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Is it near? Is that what he's talking about? Or is it the end of life as the Jews here know it is near? Their ways and their traditions and things. Because, you know, I mean, Rome is really starting to close in on them. That's another possible interpretation. Or maybe he's talking about the end of your lives is near, he's telling these people. Again, there's many ways we could take this. But what follows up, though, I like, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Yeah. All right, so I would imagine that all of you set aside prayer time every day. If you don't, you should. Also time in reading the Word. And you might think, oh, I'm so busy, I got so many other things going on. And, well, you prioritize. I remember back when I was in college, I went to college later in life. I didn't graduate till I was 32. Not because I started when I was 18, it took till I was 32 to graduate, okay? That's not the case. I was sort of a slow learner. I had to get a few things straightened out in my life first, and God had to rearrange some of my priorities, but eventually I went to college, and I was working two part-time jobs, and I was in the guards to pay for it, and you know, and then I had things like, you know, calc-based physics, organic chemistry, and you know, life was sort of busy, and then I was running a lot because I was in the guards and everything like that, and then I got this crazy idea. Just for fun, I like to do a marathon. For fun, you want to run 26.2 miles? Okay. Is that your idea of fun? You must be crazy. Well, yeah, maybe. I'm a little crazy. I don't know. But so I started training for this. I got this book on running marathons. It's back before the internet. And then they had a training table there where one day you'd run 6 miles, another day you'd run eight. And you'd maybe run an easy day where it's only five. You'd do 12. On the weekends, maybe you'd do 16 or 17. But among all the two part-time jobs, the guard responsibilities, and then all the studying for all these classes, how did I find time to run? Well, I sort of made it a bit of a priority. I planned around it, is what I did. Everything still got done. I got all my homework done. I got good grades. I was able to go to work. I just sort of planned around it. Well, yeah, if we plan around our prayer time and our time in the Word every day, everything else is going to get done, okay? It's going to happen, no matter how busy you are. Make this a priority, right? Should God be a priority in our lives? Yeah. Should connecting with him through prayer and reading be a priority in our lives? Absolutely. So make it a priority. Set aside that time every day. I know, like, Jill is in the morning. She reads the scripture, and then she journals through it and outlines things, and it's a great way to start the day, doing it in the morning. I love that. And that's where I read in the morning, too, is or when I do my time. But then throughout the day, you know, setting aside time to pray is needed, of course. And just having that continuing conversation with God throughout the day, where you're just checking in with him, talking to him as you go through everything, that's great, too. But that deliberate time. And in that time, then, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Yeah, clear-minded. You got to sort of clear your mind. Put all that other stuff aside. There's lots of things vying for your attention, right? And these distractions just are boop, 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 pop up everywhere and you're trying to focus and pray. But just get in that calm place. Get in that quiet place. Maybe you got to get up early before the kids or something like that. But find that quiet place and that quiet time where you can connect with God and hear from him. Don't dominate the conversation. Too often when we're praying, we do all the talking. God's listening, right? But it's got to be reciprocal, where you got to hear from him as well. So take that time, clear-minded and self-controlled, so you can pray. Okay, that's great. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Okay, that one. Another one. Love covers over a multitude of sins. How the heck does that work? We can cover our sins if we love others? No, that's earning something, right? And Scripture is very clear. We don't earn favor with God. We don't earn our salvation. It's all grace. It's all a gift. It's from his mercy. So what's up with this? I, again, did a lot of research on that verse and could not come to a consensus between all the scholars. They're sort of puzzled by that, too. They debate it. One sort of dominant one is that by loving others, we don't see their imperfections. It sort of covers up their sins. We don't see their imperfections when we love them. We look past all that. We look to the person and we love them. So maybe that helps to take it that way. But again, in 1 Peter, there are so many verses that are just sort of puzzling. And that remains one of them as well. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Lord, give us interpretation on these, huh? Okay, what follows a little bit easier? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So offer hospitality, be nice to others without grumbling. Not because you have to. Okay, I got to be nice to this person, so I guess I'd better force myself to do so. No, this is freely from the heart, right? We give of ourselves, we give of what we have to others, just as Christ did when he walked this earth, and just as he provides today. Without grumbling, we share what we have. We give what we have out of love. And that's a wonderful picture. If everybody does that, everybody's needs are provided, and people are doing it willingly, which is the way it should be. Doing it willingly, freely, from the heart. Okay, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Absolutely, again, serving others. Faithful administering God's grace in its various forms. Gifts that we've been given. Now, a lot of us have physical gifts in this life. Some might have an athletic gift. Some might have a creative gift. Some have a musical gift. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents that God has given us. And when we can use them to serve him, that's really cool. Like if you got that musical gift, you're serving him with that. If you got a creative gift, you're serving God with that. And serving others, of course, as well. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So it's God's grace through us when we use these gifts. Now, we also got spiritual gifts, too. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 12. You can read about it in Romans 12. They're the spiritual gifts that we've been given as well. So whatever gifts you have, use them to serve God and to serve others, to his glory, right? I remember being at a prayer group some years ago, and Relinda was there, and she was talking about being a flexible conduit. Well, that's interesting. If you've done electrical wiring, you get conduits, these pipes that you run the wires through. And a lot of times they're just rigid metal pipes, which is great. You can run the wires through them there. But then you also got the flex conduit, and this stuff is sort of spiral-shaped, and you can turn it and flex it any which way and run the wires, turn corners easily like that, and it's a pretty cool deal. So a conduit lets something flow through it. Think about conduits for, you know, aqueducts or something like that. It lets something flow through. And if God's grace and mercy are flowing through us to others, that's really cool. But we can't just be a directional conduit. We have to be flexible so God can use us to turn it this way, to bring it here, to bring it there. And having that flexible conduit, if we are a flexible conduit, and those words that Relinda said just stuck with me. And that next week at the prayer group, I brought in a bunch of flexible conduit and gave everybody just a short length of it as a reminder to be a flexible conduit. To be flexible so that God can turn us, so that he can direct us, so that he can vector us in the right way to bring what needs to be brought there. And what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful idea to be that flexible conduit for God, that his love can flow through us to others as we willingly offer ourselves up, not grudgingly, not because we have to, but willingly offer ourselves up so that he can flow through us to others in so many ways. By helping people, by supporting them, by being there with them and for them. That's what Christians do. We help others. Willingly from the heart. We ought to be known for that as Christians. We are the people that help others. We give of ourselves, we give of our time, we give of our gifts to the benefit of others. By loving others, God is loving through us. That love is flowing through this flexible conduit. Let us be that. Peter continues, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Absolutely. If your gift is speaking, speak the words of God. If anyone serves, do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Again, it's all about God, not about us. We serve, we love, because God loves us. So whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians. So on the deal with gifts here then, Romans picks up with that as well. We had heard Romans 12 today. Okay, got to get to the right part there. Okay, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We're all different. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. So we all have these different gifts, of course, and then they work together to complete the body. Paul used the example, if everybody's a foot, you know, then you know, where's the nose or the ear or the hand or whatever else? We all have different functions, and working together, we complete the body of Christ. It's a great model there. It's a great vision. But these parts are also interconnected. If one part hurts, the rest of the body knows about it. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, maybe something hurts, or you're tripping and something else hurts, and the rest of the body knows it. And the body is not only physical, right? We also have our mental, emotional, and spiritual components. You have physical health, you also have mental health, spiritual health, emotional health. It's all interconnected. So as we are the body of Christ, we are interconnected with each other. And if one person is hurting, everybody else should know it and rally around that person and be there with them. As it says elsewhere in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We're there with others, God's presence flowing through us, being that flexible conduit. Using our gifts for God's glory. Paul continues here, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing, give generously. So no matter what your gift is, use it for God's glory. That gift of serving, we see that in people around here all the time. People that are preparing the communion, people that are doing the outside landscaping, that are putting in the flower boxes, all those things, we're all serving, and we're doing it to God's glory. I love that. So some people have that gift. Others for leading. Lead others, then, with to God's glory, with his love. Prophesying, if you got that gift, yeah, let her rip, okay? And it's just, again, that beautiful model that we have all been made different. And we together, then we create it. It's sort of like in marriage, too. Jill's very emotional. I'm very logical. The two don't always match up. I've said that before. But I've got this shortcoming with the emotional thing, and she's got a surplus of that. So then together, we sort of complete it, right? We sort of complete it. And we're that same way with the body of Christ. Each one of us have different gifts. We sort of complete, then, this body of Christ. We're interconnected. We are one. We are there for each other. We are there with each other. And I was thinking about even people with disabilities have abilities. You see me those little short videos on the internet sometimes too, someone that's got very prominent physical disability or mental disability or something like that. But they're still there with other people. They're helping other people. They're serving other people. Isn't that just heartwarming when you see that? We've all got disabilities in one way or another, but we also have abilities. And again, together we can serve others, we can be there for others, we can encourage others, we can use these gifts, again, to God's glory. So when you give of your gifts, do it fully, not half-heartedly. If you got this wonderful gift and you ignore it, the world sort of loses out. Maybe you got a gift of creativity or artistic type thing. And if you don't develop this gift, the world's sort of missing out. Or you got this gift of serving, you don't use it. The world's missing out. We've all been given these gifts. And it's sad when they're not developed. I think sometimes of maybe there's this baby born over in Africa, in Ethiopia or something like that, that has this incredible mental capacity that surpasses Einstein. And who knows? Entirely possible. But that child never has a chance to go to school. They never have adequate nutrition. And the brain never gets a chance to develop. Could have cured cancer or something like that. Or they use that example too, you know, a baby that's unfortunately aborted that could have cured cancer or something like that, and the world misses out. Let us again value life. Let us build others up. Let us help others. Let us help them reach their full potential so that the whole body can then work better but glorify it and to God's glory as well. Everybody's got that something. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's got a gift. And maybe even the people you don't really get along with or something like that. Do they also have gifts? Yeah. And we need to help them develop. We need to lift them up, right? Let us never tear someone down or push them down. Let us lift others up. Let us help them to see the light. Let us help them to develop their gifts to God's glory. Very important that we do that. All right, on the topic of giving, then just briefly on the gospel today, we had seen that as well, the widow's offering. Just prior to this, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees and the teachers of the law in the temple there, and he's giving all kinds of examples and things like that, and they're not really getting it, and they're not really believing Jesus, of course. So then, right prior to this, he says, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." So he's bringing it to these people. He's redirecting them. He's showing them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, all these people that glorifying themselves rather than God. And it says a lot about them. They devour widows' houses for a show, make lengthy prayers. Wow. Taking a home away from a widow. How low can you go? And is it coincidence that in the next passage in, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury? He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins, all she had. Was she maybe one of these that had her house taken away by these people? Who knows? But Jesus noticed. He says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Two small copper coins, these little widow's mites. They're really small. From the Greek, it would be lepta, like lepton, a small particle." Well, it's the story of percentages, obviously. You know, they gave their tithe. They gave their 10% as required. She gave 100%. So, of course, it's the story of percentages, but there's so much more to it than just that. And, yes, it is good to tithe. It is good to give her 10%. But to give above and beyond that as well, absolutely, to give offerings to God, to give thank offerings. But not only, it's not only dollar signs, it's not only monetary, but to give what we have and who we are, like that song that we sang, giving it all to God, giving of the gifts that he's given us. He's given us gifts for what purpose? Not so that we can build ourselves up, but that we can build the kingdom, right? That we can build others up, that we can help others. To give of what we have to God's glory, the motive matters. We don't do it to build ourselves up like these Pharisees, with their lengthy prayers for all to see, and then they're putting the money in the clank, make sure it clangs so everybody can hear it. No, for God's glory. They gave because they had to. She gave willingly.
They gave part, she gave all. They had reserves to live on. They give their 10%. They still got 90%. They have more than enough. After she gave her two coins, what did she have left? Nothing. So she is also putting her trust in there and putting her trust in God. She's giving all she has, trusting that God will provide. Maybe this is how she lived, that God just somehow provides. It's funny how that works. You think this isn't going to work, but somehow God provides, and it always he does in many ways. And she experiences that. She's a widow. She has nothing. But she's trusting God for everything. I admire that. I think a lot of us, if we're honest, have a hard time doing that. Giving everything and trusting God for everything. So what a wonderful example. Giving all that she had. And we need to do that same thing with any gift we've been given. Give it all to God, to his glory, to serve others, to build the kingdom. And to put our trust in God to that extent. We're probably not going to give everything we have. But again, it's not all about money. It's about giving of our time. It's giving of our gifts. It's giving of everything that God has given us to his glory, to return it. Because it all comes from him. And it's all meant to honor him. So let us give to God's glory. Amen.